Acts 27. I've fought preaching this, and I want to follow the Lord. I'd love to preach on something else, but I believe this is where God had had me. So, Acts 27. Appreciate that good singing. What a blessing. You go to bragging on Jesus, and I promise you, He's bound to show up in just a little bit. What a song. What a Savior. Acts 27. Let's pray. Father, we bow before You tonight, God. We thank You, Lord, for Calvary. Thank You, Lord, for dying for our sins tonight. God, I come to You tonight as humble as I know how, Lord. I pray, God, Lord, for a touch tonight. I pray, God, that You'd anoint us with the cloak of our calling. God, I pray, God, across this building here, Lord, that You'd open the hearts and ears of Your people, Your bride, the ones that You purchased. And Lord God, in these times, I pray, God, Lord, that You'd help them. I pray, God, that somehow in some way, out of these feeble efforts, Lord, that we've brought tonight, God, that You'd touch somebody and help them. Lord, I ask You to bless us. I ask You to bless Your word. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Alrighty. Acts 27. I love this chapter and I appreciate the Lord allowing Brother Luke to pin it down. It sure has been a help. And if you've had any time saved in your life, you'll notice you live in this chapter. And this chapter is a storm chapter. And you pray for us tonight that God would convey the message that He's put on our hearts for us. So let's pick up there in verse 14, very familiar scripture. The Bible says, but not long after there arose against it. He didn't say us, but he said it. A tempest wind called Euroclydon. And when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive, running under a certain island which is called Clauda. We had much work to come by the boat. It ever seemed like about all we ever do is just hold together what we got. Seems like we're just trying to hold things together and keep things from falling apart. Is anybody else in that same boat? It feels like there's a lot of things trying to tear up, a lot of things just trying to disperse and trying to leave and trying to go away, but we're trying to hold things together. We're trying to keep things on the path. He said they had much work to come by the boat, which when they had taken up, they used helps undergirding the ship, and fearing lest they should fall into the quicksands, straight sail, and so were driven. And we being exceedingly tossed with a tempest, the next day they lightened the ship. Sounds like to me somebody's in a pretty bad storm. Sounds like to me somebody's having a pretty tough time. All these adjectives. A tempest wind. And we see here that there's a exceedingly tossed with a tempest. In verse 19 he says, the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. In verse 20 he says, well, neither sun nor stars in many days appeared. And no small tempest lay on us. All hope we should be saved was then taken away. I'm interested in that last phrase there. Luke wrote down here, he said, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. Taken away. I want to preach on this thought tonight. Stolen hope. Stolen hope. And I look
at this passage of Scripture here, and I look at the church in this day and hour, and I talk to some co-workers, I talk to some various people, and I see the church as it's, I don't want to use the word struggling, that the church is not struggling, but the church is fighting. The church is going along and doing its very best. And the fact is that the devil is fighting in a day that we live in worse than he ever has before. I believe that he knows, as the Bible says, that his days are coming short. And I believe he's come against us. I believe he's come against God's bride. I believe he's, and he will not prevail. Let me throw that in there right quick. He will not prevail, but I want to say that he is coming against the church, and he is fighting you. And I believe with all of my heart, I don't believe the Holy Ghost is wrong tonight. I believe he's pointing me down this path here because there may be somebody that needs it. There may be somebody's house tonight. There may be somebody's life tonight that it seems like you're in a storm. It seems like you're in the battle of your life. You've never seen things the way that you're facing them today. You've never come across some of the things that that you're watching and some of the things that you're encountering in your life. And it's tough and it's very difficult. And I believe God would love to encourage you tonight. So let's dive into this Scripture here and let the Word speak to your heart tonight. Ain't nothing like the Word. Thank God for the Scripture. Thank God for the Holy Bible. Amen. I'm glad that there is a Word tonight from another world that can help us and soothe us and encourage us in a day of trouble. When everything says give up and when everything says throw the towel in, it ain't worth it. I'm glad that there's a Word that says keep going and press on. It won't be very long. I'm glad there's somebody that's sitting higher than I sit. I'm glad there's somebody in here tonight that's higher than I am, that's mightier than I am. And he's got the reins. He's got the steering wheel. He is driving the ship. He's in charge. And he has everything under control. Ain't you glad tonight? But I see a people here. As they're in the midst of this storm, as they're in the midst of this hopeless situation, have you ever been in a situation that everything inside of you and everything around you told you that it was hopeless and just give up? Listen to me tonight. I think about Mary and Martha as they went to bury Lazarus. There's a point that we'll give up and we'll take somebody and bury them. We'll take a person and their life and what they're going through. It may be a lost son. It may be a daughter. It may be a mom or a daddy. But there's a line somewhere that they cross and we give up and we bury them and we try to put them out of our mind. But listen to me tonight. There's a God that's just coming around the corner and he's able to raise them up. He's able to take the worst, the one that everybody's given up on, and he's able to raise up somebody for his honor and his glory. But watch now. First of all, in this stolen hope, I noticed the calamity that was brewing. The calamity that was brewing. I see here, first of all, that it was fierce. Verse 14, he says there that it was a tempest wind. It was a wind that thereby in body they could feel. They could physically feel this. They could see the waves rocking. They could hear these things. And all of the bodily senses, they could see and feel all of these things. Is there anything going on in your life tonight? Is there anything going on in your home tonight that you can look at it with your eyes and you can hear it with your ears? You can feel it in your body and everything that you feel, see, and touch and hear is telling you that there's no hope. Sounds like the devil's trying to steal your hope. Oh, listen to me. I want to tell you tonight, there's times in your life when reasoning by man cannot help. And there's nothing that this old body and there's nothing that this old mind can help you with. It's a God thing and He's going to have to help you with it. Not only is it a fierce calamity, but I notice also that it's frightening. We have our body. And then we have our soul. The thing that separates us from a dog or a cow out in the field. It's the fact that I got some tears and I can feel things. I can have my feelings hurt. And I've got a heart. I can love things. And you know what? Everything in this storm here, I believe it was frightening. Not only could they feel it, not only could they see it, and not only could they hear it, but it also got to the place of their mind. And listen to me, I'm telling you, the devil, if he could ever get, listen to me, I say if he can ever get in your mind, he's pretty much got you whooped. This old mind here, it controls us most of the time. And if the devil can convince you that there's no hope and there's no reason to go on and there's no sense in it. Listen, nobody goes to that church no more. Listen, nobody cares about that. We might as well give up. And if he can get you to believe in that, he's as good as got you. The mind. Has the devil got in your mind tonight? Has he told you that there's no hope in your mind? Has he frightened you to the point in this storm here that there's no way out in your mind? Is it in your mind tonight? What's in your mind? What are you thinking? What have you said? You probably wouldn't say it out loud. Or maybe you would say it to your immediate family. But what do you say when you go down the road? What do you say to yourself? It's not worth it. It's not use. There's no use in it. The devil is putting that in your mind. And he's trying to control you and get the reins of your life by getting in your head. It's fierce and pride. Hang in there now. We're going to get in the middle of this storm. But there is a way out. Amen? It's fierce and frightening. But I see it also getting to the point it's failing. Notice there in verse 20 it says there's no hope. It's something else. Listen to me. You can preach this or you can read this and experience this. But I'm telling you, there's a point in your life to where you'll get to the place to where the devil brings all these things up against you and all these storms and all these battles. And they come against you and it convinces your mind. And if you stay there long enough, it'll tear your faith down. It can beat you to the point. Listen to me. And I believe Brother Ken will agree with this. There's a lot of pews. It's empty on Sunday morning because the devil convinced them it ain't worth it. And you say, that'll never happen to me, preacher. That'll never happen to my family. Oh, I beg to differ. It's happened to better folks than you. And it's happened to better folks than me. And if we're not careful, and if we believe the devil's lies, I don't care if you've been in church for 20 years. I don't care if you teach a Sunday school class. I don't care if you're a preacher. If the devil can convince you that there's no hope and get it in your mind, listen, you're as good as washed up. Failing. He got to their faith. That's what he's after anyway. The devil ain't after your finances. He don't care nothing about your money. He don't care nothing about it. Listen, he ain't even really after your family. He's after you and your faith in Christ. His number one enemy, and he's really his only enemy, is Jesus Christ. The only thing he hates you for is because you stand up for Christ and you bear the name of Christ. He ain't got no quarrel with you. He don't like the one that lives inside of you. And he knows who that he lives inside of. So look now, the stolen hope, the calamity that was brewing. But let's look just for a minute at the characters on board. The characters on board. We may be in a storm. We may be in a battle. And I look at these last days, I believe with all my heart that the Lord could come at any minute. I believe we have seen a lot of the great falling away, and I believe we're in the midst of it. And people are just going to that lead of seeing more. It's being more defined than ever before. I've read that all my life, Revelation 3, but I'm seeing it happen. seeing it before our eyes. And honey, let me tell you, just a few verses away is Revelation 4:1. After this, behold, I look. Jesus is coming just around the corner. As a matter of fact, tonight we may have had a pretty day, a sunshining day, and everybody's pockets fat with stimulus money and everything may seem to be going okay. But the Bible says in such an hour as you think not the Son of Man cometh, we'd better be ready. We'd better stay on the boat and keep pressing on in the old-fashioned way. The character's on board. And even though we're in a storm, I'm glad that there are some relievers. Verse 3, Julius courteously entreated Paul, gave him liberty to go unto his friends to refresh himself. And I'm going to be honest with you, my boss, the owner of our company, is a Christian, a good man. And I've got Christian folks all around me at work. I'm blessed to have that. But there's something about getting in the house of God. It seems like Julius has courteously entreated Jamie, amen, that I could come to my friends and refresh myself. You ever feel like that? Do you ever feel like when you come, listen, God help us that we can feel like that we can look at this place right here as a place of refuge, amen? And we can look at this place as a place of relief. We need to have this place set aside as a special place that we can come and get some relief. And there are some friends here mentioned in verse number 3. Thank God for some friends that'll relieve you. You see, I may not be going through a big trial right now, but I need to have sense enough to know and discernment enough to know that when one of my brothers or sisters in here is sitting in the church house and squalling their eyes out, I ought to have sense enough to know everything may not be going well. I ought to have sense enough to know that when somebody has some kids, has some teenagers that's never went forward and made a profession, somebody that's just, I ought to have sense enough to know that they care about their kid's soul just like I care about my kid's soul. That's a true friend. Some relievers. The Holy Ghost will tell you a lot of things. But not only some relievers, but I see in tough times, I'm glad there's some retrievers. I sure am glad in verse number 21, Paul knew where to go to retrieve some help. Ain't you glad that there's some folks when you don't know, anybody ever been here in a place before in your life or where you didn't know which side was up, which side was down? Anybody ever been in such a storm before that the devil had you convinced that he wasn't hearing your prayers, that you might not even be saved, that everything is crazy about this? Ain't you glad that there's somebody that knows how to go and get God? When everything is stormy in your life and all you can do is try to hold things together, I'm glad that there's somebody that knows when you don't even know what they're doing. I'm sure that there's a lot of men out of 276 souls that was on this boat here. I'm sure that there's several that knew that Paul was down there praying. But I'm sure that there's a lot of them that didn't know. And I'm glad that there's some folks that knows how to pray and get a hold of God on my behalf, even when I don't really even know it. You ever thought about who was praying for you when you was lost and didn't give a fat baby about God? You ever thought about them folks? It may be somebody that's been dead and in the grave 50 years, but there was somebody that prayed for your hide. Hey, somebody that prayed and got a hold of God so you wouldn't have to feel the flames of hell. Hey, somebody that prayed and that God would protect you in your teenage years. Hey, somebody that prayed that would God help you during your marriage and God will help you. And I'm glad there's some praying folks. Listen to me. Relievers in these characters. There's some retrievers. But I'm glad there's some receivers too.
receivers. Verse 32 there. Wouldn't it be a sight if we come in here and didn't nobody open their Bible? Wouldn't it be a sight if when they got up and sung a while ago, that beautiful song, wonderful song, what a blessing. Couldn't be no better. If you're bragging on Jesus, it don't get no better than that. What if it didn't nobody receive that? What if didn't nobody raise their hand? What if didn't nobody say amen? What if it was dead as 4 in the morning like a lot of places you've been? I thank God that there is some receivers. Paul said the soldiers cut off. Verse 32. The soldiers cut off the ropes of the boat and let her fall off. While the day was coming on, Paul besought them to take meat, saying, this day is the 14th day. We've tarried and continued fasting, having taken nothing. Wherefore I pray to you to take some meat, for this is for you, for your health. For there shall not a hair fall from the head of any of you. When he had thus spoken, he took bread and gave thanks to God in the presence of them all. I thank God for a man of God that'll study. You know, these messages ain't something that just comes, you know, out of the sky. But I preach it. I know. I know how these messages come. Listen, to preach a message, really, you can't just jot something down. You need to live it before you preach it. You understand what I'm saying? You need to live where you're preaching. You need to experience what you preach. And I'm glad that there's somebody that's willing to break the bread. Break, amen. That means a lot of times that man of God is broken. He's been broken in pieces. I remember old Lamont Boatner saying, for God to use a man, he's going to break you so he can hand you out. Ain't you glad for some preachers still in this day that's willing to be broken and be handed out to the people? Literally, one of these days when you get to glory, you're going to see how that God has used your preacher and tore him to pieces, literally, and his sweet wife, and ripped him to shreds just so he could hand him out to you. You can believe that. You can do whatever you want to with it, but I'm telling you the truth tonight. Preaching, pastoring ain't a profession. It's not a job. It's a calling. It's a calling from the Most High. God put a calling on His preacher. He anoints His man. And He tires him and He shreds him as a shepherd to the flock. And He puts His life and His family's life in danger just for you. And God help us to be thankful for it. Receivers. But then again, in these characters, there is some rejectors. There is some rejectors. And notice now, verse number 10, Paul's trying to tell them, hey, this ain't a good idea. The preacher's trying to tell them, you better listen. You ever heard Brother Ken say that? You better listen. Yeah, man, anybody ever? You know what a lot of folks does? They don't listen. Here it is, verse 11. Nevertheless, they got up in the church pew, walked out, done exactly the way they was on Saturday. Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master of the owner and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul. God help us. Now listen to me. In these last days, and I hope this is one of the nights where you're attentive. I know how you get in church every once in a while. You'll get a night where you're off in la-la land. And you're just thinking about what's got to be done at the job tomorrow. Let me tell you something. Your job may not be there tomorrow. You're thinking about what you got to do at the house. Your house may not be there. Hope you're listening tonight. Honey, in these last days that's approaching, you're going to need preaching more than you ever. God still chose the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. And we don't need somebody teaching. We need somebody preaching. We need teaching in Sunday school. Amen? We need somebody that'll preach. Rear back and preach to somebody. And I hope you can tell they're getting few and far between. I mean few and far between. I hope you realize you need some preaching coming up. Some retreaters, lastly, there. Verse number 30, it says they were about to flee out of the ship. In these last days, in this final Euroclodon storm, there's going to be some to flee. There's going to be some try to get out. Hey, you know that preacher? I've been there and done that. I can be honest with you, Cana. Listen to me tonight. The devil, he's nobody to be played with. He's nobody. He's nobody to toy with. He's not in this just to upset your apple cart. He's not in this just to make you mad or hurt your feelings. He's in this to kill, to steal, and destroy. And if you give him half a second, that's exactly what he'll do. I'm telling you the truth tonight because I know he is a mean, wicked devil. He's interested in sinking the boat. He hates the church. But I'm glad tonight, not only the calamity that was brewing, we see the characters on board, we've seen that. But watch this. They had a choice to bond. They had a choice to bond. You know what? I believe it's 276 persons were on this boat. I don't know how in the world they got in unity, and they probably didn't until they got way on in later on in the chapter. But they all eventually, and I'm going to show you here in a second, they eventually made a choice that I'm going to bond with these around. You know what we need? Listen to me and quit looking around and trying to find somebody just like you because there ain't nobody in here just like you. Let me say this. Throw a shoe at me if you don't. Ain't nobody crazy as you are. Ain't nobody in here says it the way you do. Ain't nobody in here does it the way you do. Ain't nobody in here likes it the way you like it. But listen to me. We're in the last times, and it's time to come together and put all the ignorance to the side and bond in unity for Christ. Watch this. They made a choice to bond, first of all, in fellowship. Verse 35 there, we see it again. And when he had thus spoken, he took bread, gave thanks to God in the presence of them all. When he'd broken it, he began to eat. You know what? Fact is, we need one another. And you and I have heard that preached all our lives. But you couldn't see. Dog, that preacher was right. When I was 12 years old, that old preacher back then was right, same as he is now. We need one another. And we're just like a bunch of young'uns. We'll bicker and fight and fuss and grumble and groan and argue. And listen, at nighttime, oh, it's time to settle down. And they're hugging and loving on one another. Well, most of them anyway. But you know what? It's getting nighttime. And I'm going to show you that in a minute. It's getting nighttime in the family of God. It's getting nighttime. And you know what? I may not see things the way Brother Randall Rollins does or Brother Vince. I may not see things the way Brother Conrad or Brother Doyle. I may not see it exactly the way Brother David does. But the fact is, we're all in the family of God. If we're saved and washed in the blood. And listen, I need to put my petty ignorances aside and join together with you in one common accord and go on for the glory of God. Have you ever looked in the mirror at yourself? And I'm asking you, don't answer this. Answer yourself quietly. Have you ever looked in the mirror and looked at yourself
and said, "You idiot."
I better, yeah. Yes, Lord. I've been there. And have you ever looked at yourself spiritually? The way you act? And I'm not trying to condemn nobody, but I want to say what the Holy Ghost wants me. Have you ever seen the way you act in church and said those same words? You're acting like a kid. You ever looked at yourself and said, "How foolish. How ignorant. How ignorant. Where would I be tonight without the church?" Where would I be without it? I sure am glad tonight that I ain't got a good mind to flip a pew over or something or other. I'm glad I ain't got to go somewhere tonight to where I'm bored out of my mind. Dread coming to church like a cancer doctor. I've been there. I'm telling you what, I tell you, someplace you go to church and you dread it. Dread it. You hear what I'm saying? It gets Wednesday morning and you get out of the bed and you say, "Oh, goodness gracious, it's Wednesday. Church is tonight. You ain't even went to work and seen what's blown up and tore up and you're already dreading church. But I'm glad that we can look forward to seeing and hearing what the Lord's got for us." But they had a choice. Everybody's got a choice. You can sit there. Wasn't it a hit the fail that was so bitter? You can sit there and you can be bitter and you can die bitter. And you can die stubborn. You see, how do I know that? I've been bitter and I've been stubborn. I've been stupid. I've got it all on my resume. I'm ignorant. Listen, it's a wonder. It's a million wonders that God would save somebody like me. Sometimes I wonder if He didn't save me for kicks and giggles. But He loves me tonight. He loves me, and I'm glad that He loves hopeless cases. They had a choice, and they were bonded in fellowship. But watch this, they were also bonded in faithfulness. Verse number 37, I like this. It says, "And were in all in." In all in. Now, I don't know, I ain't no English teacher, but that just don't sound right. But the all in's what gets me. All in. I'm all in. You know what? If you read, you ought to read this whole chapter when you get home three or four times. And you know what? They had come to the point. They were tired of fighting this centurion. They were tired of going against Euryclodon. They were tired of going against all these different things, throwing this out and throwing this out, letting down the helps, letting up the helps. They were so sick and tired of repairing the boat. They said, "Hey, this man of God here, he's got an idea. Let's go with him. Let's go with what he's got to say and go with God." And I believe every one of them took a personal vote. You ever took a personal vote? It's always unanimous. He said, "You know what? I've been acting ignorant." All these fellows here, they said, "I've been acting pretty ignorant. I'm wore slap out. I got calluses on my hand, pulling them ropes up, throwing this junk out. Hoping in the boat, hoping in this crazy man here that's leading, hoping in all this stuff. I'm about war." You know what's wrong? Well, most of you here tonight, you war slap out. Talk to me now. I know what I'm talking about. I'm in the same boat you in. I'm doing the same thing you're doing. I'm taking the lad now. I'm taking all this stuff out. And I'm letting down the helps, letting up. I'm trying to patch him up. I'm trying to do all this stuff when I ought to be getting up under some preaching.
wore out. Some of y'all, listen to me now. I'm going to get where you live. Some of y'all used to shout. There's some folks here tonight. I hope they're watching Facebook. There's some folks that used to be here. They ain't here tonight. You know why? They tired. I'm tired too. Load up in that little white truck and go with me to work tomorrow. But I ain't the only one tired. All these folks over here, they went to work. They tired. Tired. But it ain't about that kind of tired. You are tired of coming in here and trying to conjure up something. You're tired of coming in. Listen, what you need is to get under the spout where the glory comes out. You know what? You know what'd be perfectly in order? I believe Brother Ken would be fine with. You know what? If you ain't feeling it Sunday, you ought to just get out here and crawl up in this altar and let them sing. If they want to sing three or four, whatever they want to sing. And you just do business with God. I love the fact that there ain't no altar call in the middle. At the beginning or at the end of the service, it is the altar call. Thank God. The altar is always open. And the only way that I know to tell you, listen, if I was counseling you and trying to get you to God, the only way and the only thing that I would tell you is get you a Bible and get you a glass of water and get somewhere and get alone by yourself and talk and read and pray and call on God until you got an answer. And it usually don't happen in 15 minutes. And a choice to bond in fellowship and faithfulness. But they had a choice to bond in finishing. Verse 39. And I'm going to be done. Verse 39. Watch this. In finishing. And when it was day, there's a new day coming. There's a new day coming. Morning is just a few minutes away. When it was day, they knew not the land. You know what? I've heard every song there is sung about it. I've heard messages preached about it. But I've never seen it. I don't know what's waiting on me. I've read about it, and I've imagined it, but the Bible tells me that my imagination will fail me when I try to imagine what's waiting on me. He says there, when it was day, they knew not the land, but they discovered a certain creek with a shore. And if I had another hour, I'd like to break that down, but I better not. Into which they were minded. See how their mind changed. Back over a few verses earlier, it was no hope. But now they got a mind. If this thing crashes on the rocks, I'm going with it. See their mind change. You know what you need to do tonight? You need to change your mind. Your mind is half in the world and half in the church. You leave here, the devil's going to hit you at them doors right there and he's going to get in your mind. He's going to try to convince you. He's going to try to drag you back out in it. Don't let him get in your mind. They were minded. If it were possible to thrust. I love these words. Don't you love your King James Bible? To thrust in the ship. And when they had taken up anchors. Do us good to take up some things that's holding us down. Says they committed themselves. They do us good to commit to some things. Commit. Commit. And they loosed the rudder bands. There's some things holding you down and some things holding you back. And they hoisted up the mainsail to the wind. They turned loose some things. Let me tell you what to do in your life is turn loose of the things that you're trying to drive. The things that you're trying to steer and get all back in line. You're trying to get... Listen, you're going up against Euroclodon. You're going against the biggest storm there ever was. That eastern wave-moving wind that's trying to drive your boat into... Listen, what you need to do is turn loose of the steering wheel and let God drive your life, drive your marriage, drive everything about you, drive your job. You have no idea what's coming tomorrow. I have no idea. There ain't no telling. God forbid anything. But you know what? The fact is, I've lived long enough to know that I don't know what's coming tomorrow when I wake my eyes. If I do. But I'm telling you, I've learned this, and I ain't learned much. But I've learned that the more I let the Lord control, not co-pilot, but control. Instead of me getting in the passenger seat or the back seat, I just go ahead and get in the trunk. Open the trunk, and when he gets up to about 60 miles an hour, I throw the keys out. And that way I can't get back up in the front seat, can't tell him which way to turn. Because I'll try to get over there and, what do you call it, back seat drive, up in the front seat, grab the steering wheel, all that junk, like I do with Lily when she's driving. That's the way we do God. It's exactly the way we do Him. They hoisted up the mainsail to the wind, and they made towards shore. What are you headed towards tonight? Is there some things that's holding you back? Is there some things holding you down? You might as well say yes, because I know most everybody in here. You ain't alone. The devil will tell you the only one. But there's some things that's got you bound. This thing's winding up. You may be here tonight. Can we have a song, Brother Ken? Please. Or something other. You may be here tonight. And you listen to me. Just like a football game. A basketball, whatever. When that buzzer hits. At the end of the fourth quarter. It's over. It's done. You may be here tonight, and you may be as lost. You know you've never been saved. If this thing winds up,